I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Class is now in session. And the UPS Store is here to help you ace arriving on campus. Our certified packing experts can pack everything you need, from desktops to decor. Plus, when you pack and ship with us, you get our exclusive pack and ship guarantee. Your items arrive safe or your money back. Restrictions and limitations apply. To get a 20% off packing coupon and for full details, visit theupsstore.com/packing.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
All right, so welcome to another deep dive. Today, we're going to be tackling something that I think we can all relate to, at least on some level, those, you know, nightmare neighbor situations. You've heard of them.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that make you really question that whole, like, love thy neighbor thing. And we have got an absolutely fascinating source to work with today. It's a letter. It was sent to the Nightmare Neighbors podcast, and it really details one listener's escalating conflict with their neighbors, the Culvers. It's all here. We've got, you know, rural peace shattered by a McMansion, floodlights, passive aggressive pranks, and ultimately a decision to move. So get ready to analyze this whole situation from all angles and maybe even pick up some tips for handling those tricky neighbor dynamics in your own life.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to see how these small, seemingly insignificant annoyances can snowball into these huge conflicts.
It really is. And it all starts out innocently enough. The listener and her husband, Dan, are living their best rural life, enjoying peace and quiet, right? Until the Culvers move in and build this massive McMansion right next door. Now, look, I'm not saying all McMansions equal bad neighbors, but in this case, it seems to mark the beginning of the conflict.
It's interesting how just a change in the physical environment like that, right? You know, a new structure, especially one that's so different from what's already there, can almost feel like an intrusion, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that feeling of intrusion seems to escalate really quickly in this case. Mm-hmm. The listener mentions, you know, just doing the classic, hey, welcome to the neighborhood thing, bringing over some banana bread, trying to be neighborly, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Mrs. Culver basically shuts her down. She's just like, oh, we don't eat gluten.
Wow, what a missed opportunity, right? Yeah. Like, those first encounters can really set the tone for the whole relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, offering to help him pack or, like, you know, just help out with a chore or something can sometimes be perceived as a little bit more genuine and welcoming than, like, a traditional gift.
I like that. It's like, hey, can I help you with something? You know, rather than, here's a thing.
Right, exactly. It's establishing that foundation of mutual support, mutual respect. And it seems like in this case, that foundation never really got built.
No, not at all. In fact, things take a turn for the worse pretty quickly. Enter the floodlight of doom. That's what our listener calls it.
Oh, boy.
Mr. Culver, a.k.a. Todd, or as the listener refers to him, Captain Sprinkler, installs this incredibly bright floodlight.
I've heard of this.
Oh, yeah. Claiming it's for security reasons, which, you know, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But get this, it's aimed directly at the listener's house.
Oh, no.
Their peaceful backyard is now, like, bathed in this harsh, intrusive light all night.
I mean, that's such a classic example of these neighbor disputes, right? Those battles over light and noise pollution, because it really does have a direct impact on your, you know, on your privacy, on your well-being.
It's so true. And when the listener politely asked Todd, like, hey, can you maybe just adjust the angle a little bit? He basically dismisses her concerns. He's just like, you know, well, you know, safety, rural living, like just kind of brushes her off.
That dismissive attitude, I find that's often where things really start to escalate. It's like instead of actually trying to address the issue, it's just ignored or minimized. Mm-hmm. And that just fuels the resentment on the other side, you know?
So what could the listener have done differently at this point? I mean, she tried being nice, right? She tried talking to him directly.
Well, it's tough because you're already dealing with that strained relationship. I mean, sometimes documenting the issue can be really helpful, right? So, you know, taking pictures of the light shining in your windows, keeping a record of the conversations, maybe even like, you know, noting down the times when the light's particularly bothersome, that kind of thing. Because those details can be super valuable if you need to involve a third party, like if you have a homeowners association or if you need to bring in a mediator or something.
So you're saying almost go from that casual, hey, can you do me a favor? To like, okay, this is an actual problem and I'm documenting it.
Right, exactly. It shows you're serious about finding a solution.
Well, in this case, it seems like the listener decides to take matters into her own hands.
And this is where we often see that back and forth, you know, that tit-for-tat dynamic that we see so often in these situations.
It gets pretty creative, too. So to block the glare of the floodlight, the listener plants a row of Leyland cypress trees, right? Hoping to, like, create this natural barrier.
Okay.
But, of course, the Culvers respond by...
Let me guess. Another floodlight.
You got it. Another one, and this time it's aimed at the bedroom window.
Oh, come on.
Classic escalation, right?
Yeah, yeah. Each action is met with an even more aggressive response,
yeah.
And the conflict just spirals.
And, you know, the listener's not backing down either. She retaliates with some passive-aggressive moves of her own. Every time the Culver kids, who she refers to as Gremlin 1 and Gremlin 2, leave trash in her yard, she marches it right back to their porch.
I can see the satisfaction in that, but that's... feeding into that cycle of retaliation.
Oh, it totally is. And then there's the legendary baby shark incident.
I've heard of this too.
You know, okay. So the Culvers throw this huge housewarming party, music's blaring, their ATVs roaring around. The listener at her wit's end decides to fight fire with, well, baby shark.
Oh, no.
She blasts that song on repeat for 3 hours straight.
Oh, the psychological warfare.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a classic tactic in neighbor disputes, often used to, you know, assert dominance or exact revenge.
Right, but did it work?
Rarely. It often just escalates the conflict even more.
And in this case, Todd just leaves a note saying, grow up.
Wow. How ironic.
Okay. Like, come on.
I mean, at this point, you're seeing a clear breakdown in communication, right? Each party's resorting to these, you know, almost childish tactics instead of actually trying to address the issues, you know?
It's like they're stuck in this endless loop of petty revenge. But then the conflict takes a little bit of a darker turn.
Ooh, this is where things start to get serious.
The listener starts finding rat infestations in her house. Dog poop mysteriously appears on her welcome mat. Her mailbox is vandalized with the charming message, country trash.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, those actions suggest, you know, a pretty disturbing shift from just annoyance to something way more malicious. And it raises that question. Why would someone escalate to this level over a neighborhood dispute?
Yeah. What is that? Is it just deep-seated pettiness? A desire to dominate? Or is there like something, I don't know, darker at play here?
It's tough to say for sure without really knowing, you know, a lot more about the individuals involved. But this type of behavior often does point to a need for control, a lack of empathy, or maybe even some, you know, some deeper psychological issues, honestly.
And it's important to note that all of this is happening against the backdrop of the McMansion itself. You know, it really becomes the symbol of the Culver's intrusion into the listener's once peaceful world.
Oh, the symbolism is so powerful, right?
Yeah.
Because it really represents that disruption of the existing order, you know? A challenge to the listener's sense of place, sense of belonging.
Exactly. And just when you think things can't get any weirder.
Like there's more.
Oh, yeah.
What could they possibly do next?
It's January. It's the dead of winter. And they decide to build a makeshift ice rink in their backyard.
What?
Complete with floodlights, speakers, and a giant inflatable penguin.
Oh, the audacity. Did they at least invite the listener to join in the winter festivities?
Oh, yeah, they do. With this cheery little, you're welcome to join, as if they're inviting her over for, like, you know, a casual barbecue or something.
Oh, wow.
Right. But at this point, the listener has reached her limit. She's done. And this is where we start to see a shift in the power dynamic.
Okay. I'm intrigued. What does she do?
It's war. The ice rink becomes the final straw. She goes full on, like, strategic mastermind. First, she reports them for zoning violations.
Yes.
Then she aims an industrial fan at their rink, melting their, you know, icy dreams into this soggy mess.
Amazing.
But the real masterstroke, discovering that second floodlight, the one aimed at her bedroom window, was never approved by the HOA.
A taste of poetic justice.
Oh, yeah. The listener anonymously reports the violation and boom. The Culvers are slapped with a $1,000 fine and forced to take down the floodlight. It's, you know, it's a small victory, but hey, it's a victory.
I bet that felt incredibly satisfying.
I'm sure it did. But as we know, you know, no good deed goes unpunished in the world of nightmare neighbors. She comes home one night to find her beloved Leyland cypress trees hacked down to stumps.
Oh no, yeah. A classic act of retaliation and a very clear message. You might have won this battle, but we'll win the war.
It's chilling, isn't it? And it's at this point that, you know, Dan steps in and says, okay, we're done. We're selling the house.
Wow. You know, it's a tough decision, but sometimes the only way to really win that war is to walk away from the battlefield.
Exactly. And that brings us to the end of, we'll call it phase four of this neighborly saga.
So they retreated. What happens next? You know, walking away from a situation like that, it takes a lot of courage.
It does. And it makes you wonder, you know, Was selling the house a defeat, or was it the ultimate act of self-preservation? You know, imagine packing up your stuff and leaving this place that you loved, a place that was supposed to be like your sanctuary, all because of unbearable neighbors.
Yeah, it highlights the impact that our physical environment can have on us, on our, you know, our mental well-being. Sometimes the healthiest choice is to just remove yourself from a toxic environment, even if it means, you know, leaving behind a place that you love.
So in a sense, choosing to move wasn't about letting the Culvers win. It was about the listener and her husband, you know, prioritizing their own peace of mind.
Exactly. It's recognizing that you can't control, you know, the actions of other people, but you can control how you respond to those actions.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, where you choose to live.
And that brings us to phase five of the listener's journey. The great escape. They sell the house, they leave behind the McMansion, the floodlights, the trash, and hopefully the memory of Captain Sprinkler and his reign of sprinkler terror.
It's like a symbolic severing of ties.
Yeah.
But even with that physical distance, I imagine that the emotional scars from an experience like that could probably linger for a while.
Oh, absolutely. This wasn't just like a minor disagreement, right? It was a prolonged period of stress, of anxiety, constant vigilance, the retaliatory actions, even, you know, property damage. It takes a toll.
Mm. It reminds us that even these seemingly petty conflicts, they can have a very real impact on our mental health.
Yeah.
And it's really important to acknowledge that and to seek support if you need it. Mm-hmm. Talking to a therapist, joining a support group, or even just, you know, venting to friends and family, it can really help you process the experience and move on.
That's such an important point. I think we often downplay the impact that these neighbor disputes can have on us, but they can be really draining.
And they can also make you question your own judgment, right? You start to wonder, was I overreacting? Could I have done something differently? You know, those doubts can really linger long after the conflict is over.
And I think that's where a deep dive like this can be, you know, helpful, right? By analyzing the listener's experience, we gain a better understanding of those dynamics at play, and we learn to recognize those common pitfalls. And maybe we even equip ourselves with some strategies for navigating these tricky situations, you know, in our own lives.
Exactly. Because let's face it, we've all had a Culver moment, haven't we? You know, that moment where a neighbor's actions, no matter how small, push you over the edge.
It's that feeling of our personal boundaries being crossed, our, you know, our peace being disrupted, and suddenly that dripping faucet or the unmowed lawn becomes a symbol of like everything that's wrong with the world.
And it's that emotional response that can really drive that escalation, right? We go from like rational problem solving to these emotionally charged reactions, and that's when things spiral out of control.
So how do we navigate those moments? How do we handle that urge to retaliate, to engage in a little, you know, baby shark warfare of our own?
I think it's about recognizing those triggers and consciously choosing a different path, right? It's about shifting from that mindset of, you know, winning or getting even to really focusing on finding solutions that benefit everyone.
Easier said than done, right? Especially when you're dealing with someone who seems totally unreasonable.
Oh, absolutely. But even in those situations, there are strategies we can employ. And that's actually what we'll explore in the final part of our deep dive today.
Okay, so we've unpacked this whole nightmare neighbor scenario. We've seen how things can escalate. And we've even, you know, talked about that really difficult decision of, you know, when to retreat. But now let's get practical, right? What can we learn from this listener's experience? What tools can we add to our own, conflict resolution toolbox?
Well, one of the most effective tools, and this might sound counterintuitive, especially when you're, you know, in the heat of the moment, but it's empathy.
Okay, so trying to see things from the neighbor's perspective, but how does that actually work, right? Like when you're feeling frustrated, you know, maybe even like a little bit vengeful.
Well, I think it starts with depersonalizing the situation.
Yeah.
Right. Remembering that it's not you versus them. It's about finding a solution to a shared problem. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that floodlight, it's not meant as a personal attack. Maybe it stems from some past experience that's making them, you know, feel unsafe.
So instead of immediately, you know, assuming bad intentions, we try to understand that why behind their actions. That's a real mindset shift.
It is, but it can be incredibly powerful in de-escalating the conflict. Mm-hmm. You know, when you approach the conversation with empathy, you're more likely to be heard and to open up a dialogue.
So using that floodlight example, instead of just being like, "Hey, your light is blinding me. Turn it down." I might
say. And you could try something like, "I understand you're concerned about security and I appreciate you taking those steps to protect your property, but I've noticed the light shines pretty brightly into my windows at night. Could we maybe work together to find a solution that addresses both of our needs?"
Okay, that's a much different approach. You know, you're acknowledging their concerns, but you're also clearly stating your own.
Right. It's inviting that collaboration instead of just going straight to confrontation.
Okay, So what if, despite our best efforts, right, at empathy and communication, the situation just keeps escalating? Like, what if we're dealing with a neighbor who's truly unreasonable, maybe even, you know, engaging in harassment like we saw with this listener?
Well, in those cases, it's really crucial to set boundaries and protect yourself. You know, document everything, take pictures, keep a log of the incidents, save emails or text messages, that kind of thing. Because all of that documentation can be so valuable if you need to involve a third party, you know, like a homeowners association or even, you know, in some cases, law enforcement.
So similar to what we talked about earlier, it's moving from that casual to a more formal approach. We're gathering evidence and we're building a case.
Exactly. And remember, you don't have to go through this alone, right? A lot of communities actually have resources specifically to help residents navigate these disputes. Some cities have mediation programs. There are even organizations that specialize in conflict resolution.
That's really good to know. So it means that we have options, right? Beyond just suffering in silence or, you know, resorting to those baby shark tactics.
Right. And sometimes, and this is tough, but sometimes the best course of action is to actually disengage completely.
Yeah.
You know, if a neighbor is consistently disrespectful of your boundaries or they're engaging in harassing behavior, limiting contact, and even, you know, seeking professional help,
yeah,
it might be necessary to protect your well-being.
Yeah, that goes back to that idea of strategic retreat that we discussed earlier. Sometimes walking away is the healthiest choice, even if it doesn't, you know, feel like winning.
It's about recognizing that your peace of mind is more valuable than winning, you know, a battle with a difficult neighbor.
You know, this deep dive has really, it's highlighted the complexity of these neighborly relationships, hasn't it? It's not always just, you know, picket fences and potlucks.
No, it really is. It's almost like a microcosm of human interaction,
yeah,
with all of its nuances and yeah, challenges. You know, we've seen the passive aggression, the need for control, the desire for revenge, and ultimately, you know, that longing for peace and harmony.
So as we wrap up here, what's the key takeaway for our listeners? What's that one thing that they should remember when faced with their own neighborly dilemmas?
You know, I think it's remembering that communication, empathy, and a willingness to find common ground, it can go a long way in resolving these conflicts. But also remember that you have a right to feel safe and to feel respected in your own home. And sometimes that means seeking outside help or even creating distance.
That's such a powerful message. And I think it really encapsulates, you know, what the deep dive is all about. You know, we're not just here to analyze, we're here to equip you, our listeners, with the knowledge and the tools to navigate, you know, all of life's complexities. So until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and remember, you don't have to face those neighborly challenges alone.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.